on, Team Stoners, and welcome back to another episode of
High on Horror.
I'm your host, Chris, joined by my two co-hosts, Josh and Miles. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Back at it again with the white Vans.
Another one.
Damn Daniel.
And this week, we are going to be talking about Jordan Peele's Nope. This is a not-too-distant film, 2022, and is a neo-Western sci-fi horror film. So, strap in.
Neo-Western.
Neo-Western. It was very cowboy-esque. Like, my second watch-through on this, there was a lot of, like, kind of moments where I was like, all right, cool, cool. But yeah, how have you guys been doing? I guess, is this the first episode kicking off Alien Month?
Yeah, we're going to bring you 4 straight weeks of nonstop horror alien action.
Alien!
right after the government announced aliens.
Yeah. I tried to pull up like bullet points of what we learned, but what I was reading was, it was a lot of words. So... what we've heard so far is that someone testified under oath that the United States government has biological material not from planet Earth, non-terrestrial, non-human origins, excuse me. And there was also a aircraft, which has been referenced, that was non-human as well. But again... the congressional hearings yielded about as much as you would expect congressional hearings to yield. You know, taxpayer dollars hard at work here, people. They're doing a good job.
It was a lot of people going, well, I could discuss that behind closed doors, but not right now.
It's like Tom DeLonge has more information about aliens than like what the public was allowed to know in that congressional hearing. So, yeah, all I saw was, like, the memes of the guy from Ancient Aliens being like, I fucking knew it! You all laughed at me! yeah, so, no, it's very fitting time. I have a theory that my co-host Trent from the Geek Peek podcast has instilled in me that I think they're slow dripping, like, little... alien info until they're finally like, yeah, it's like 100% confirmed. We definitely have aliens, where people are like, well, duh, like we've known that for, you know, about 30 years ish. So
I would say, what are they really doing that they're like, let's distract them with some alien news.
Yeah. Right.
Let them know busy. About the aliens.
World War III is about to kick off.
Apparently Epstein's guest book like got leaked for everyone who was on his island, so they're like, but aliens, woo.
So what are you guys, it's been a couple weeks since we've been able to record, it's been busy, and I want to know, in terms of spookiness, what have you guys been up to? Miles, I know you always have the barrel loaded. You got one in the chamber and one on the hip, so let me know what you got.
We'll go with the one in the chamber today, and that would be I went on our beloved Shudder, checked that out, and I watched a movie called Death Game from 1977. It's a grindhouse movie, which was pretty gnarly, but it was, you ever see the movie Knock Knock? No,
that's I've heard of it.
It's Keanu Reeves is in his house alone. Yes. His family leaves, and then Ana de Armas and what's the other chick's name is Lorenza Izzo. They both come in and seduce Keanu Reeves, and then once he's been seduced, they like blackmail him and torture him. And that movie, which came out in 2015, is a remake of this 1977 grindhouse movie. Yep, so there was a ton of boobs, and that's the boob report. Like, the scene where they seduce him and they have sex is they're in a bathtub, like a big like jacuzzi bathtub, and the scene just goes on and on and on. And I was like, okay, cool. But my girlfriend and I are both sitting there like, all right, well, this is going to conclude sometime soon. And they kept playing a song called My Dear Old Dad. And it's really annoying. And they play it, no shit, from beginning to end, front to back. They play this 5-minute song five times in this movie. Front to back, the whole fucking song. And it's super annoying. I'll post it on the socials. I couldn't believe that they were like, they got to a point where we just started fast forwarding when the song came on because we couldn't take it anymore.
Dude, that's so. That's a very 70s thing, I feel like. Like in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the 2.5 minute like multi pan of like all the different bones in the room and the girl screaming. Like it's like, look at how bad this is. Now look over here and look again. Oh, it's not done yet. Okay, we're going to do that 3 more times.
Exactly. Yeah, and like the chicks in this movie were bananas. It was actually pretty entertaining, but man, the soundtrack was horrible. So, yeah.
I just stumble upon the clip of Keanu from Knock Knock on TikTok once in a while, where he's like strapped to a chair and he's just going, "You came into my house. You sucked my dick." It's like, Jesus, Keanu.
I did nothing wrong. False flag. False flag. All right, Josh, what do you got? What kind of spookiness you been up to?
I got two things. I took a couple vacation days the other day, and I kicked off my vacation by watching Evil Dead Rise.
Hey!
This was an endurance. You all know out there know my feelings towards gross movies, and this was one of the grossest. It was after about the fourth time someone vomited, I really wanted to kill myself. And then I started live texting the boys because I just needed to get out what was inside of me, even though I was squirming around on the couch going, no. So, yeah, it was brutal, and it was exactly what I thought it would be. Not for me, but I'm glad you all enjoyed it. I did think it's a little, like, because I like the concept. It's just a lot of the gross execution I don't like. But this is the fourth movie we've gotten. Fifth, if you count the reboot. And it's just like, I just feel like they're beating a dead horse. Like, yeah, you change locations, but it's like, is this the only thing this fucking book does? It only has this one curse in it? Like, it's supposed to hold a ton of different shit, and all it does is release the same fucking evil every time, and the same exact fucking thing happens. Give me something else. Like,
chapter
I did like
six.
The fucking...
What would you like to
six
see?
Is tax fraud.
What would you like to see? I'm serious, Josh. I'm interested.
I want a fucking, like, portal to hell to open up and a bunch of demons come out. Like, I want fucking real monsters.
Like an action movie?
Like Doom.
But, like, the original was like that, but they were claymation, and that movie went from being kind of serious to very silly very quickly at the end.
Yeah, but, I mean, that is a product of the time and the budget. I mean, they could do something with it now instead of still fucking shaky hand cam. Like, it's like, okay, get it. Yes, distorted evil voice, I get it. All right, like, yeah, just, I don't know, just give us something new. But I'm sure we'll get another one that's exactly like this because this one actually did well, unlike most of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, you do like the remake better. I couldn't get through that one either. But
I liked this one.
It is what it is. Not every movie's for everybody. It's all right. Something fun that I did get.
Say a ladder for the people in back, Josh.
It's not for everybody. This wasn't for me.
We're allowed to like different things, people.
Yeah, it's not the best or the worst. It's just whatever.
It can be good or okay.
Yeah. I went to the candy store, and I got... We did... you'll hear this later, because we're going to release these episodes a little out of order. But as of this recording, we recorded an episode for Jaws a couple weeks ago for my birthday. And I went to the candy store and I got myself some Quince mints.
Oh, cool.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
Jaws themed mints for Quint, the boat captain. And I'll
I'll let Quint lick the lollipop.
They're shaped like little jaws. Like the one you get, like fossil shark jaws. They're shaped like that, just like they are on the tin. They're shaped like that.
Oh, cool.
They got little teeth on them. It's cool. So they had some other ones. They had Jason ones, and I got my son some like sensu beans from Dragon Ball Z. I gave him a little like satchel. So yeah, fun little trip. It's got jaws on the back. So it was cool. It was worth $2 or whatever it was. I was like, I need that for fucking spooky time.
Like, hell yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
That's dope.
Chris, what about you?
Well, I have a couple things because I don't know what it is. It's like the fire inside me reinvigorated to prepare for spooky season. So I watched like 4 horror movies this weekend. I watched 5 actually. I watched, not counting Nope, I watched The Killing of the Sacred Deer, which is, I would never recommend that to anyone. That movie sucked ass.
A24?
Yeah, and it was crazy because it was Colin Farrell, Barry Keoghan, and Nicole Kidman. But the director insisted that they act the whole movie deadpan. So you've got 3 phenomenal actors who read every line in complete, like, somberness. So yeah, I didn't fucking like that movie. Then I also saw Talk to Me, which is the new A24 horror film in theaters. Fucking loved that movie. That movie rocked. That movie was
sick as fuck.
Like, please, both of you go see it. Let's review it on this show. It's baller as hell. I think you're really gonna like it. I don't want to like overstate it, but I can't wait to talk to you guys after you see it because it's doing numbers. Like, it's the second biggest A24 opening behind Everything Everywhere All at Once. So it beat out Hereditary, The Witch, The Lighthouse, Lamb. How could it be Lamb?
Not Lamb.
But yeah,
is it gross?
It has two.
That was quite the pause.
It has 2 very brutal scenes, but outside of that, like, it's not just like a gut fest movie.
I don't mind gory. Gory is not gross to me. It's vomiting, lots of drool. I don't like that.
No, I wouldn't say it's gross. Yeah. It's just brutal. So I won't give anything else away. I will just say that if you're out there listening and you haven't seen it, make it a point to go see this movie. Like, the word of mouth on this film is like catching fire. The Rotten Tomatoes and audience scores are both really high. I want to say Rotten Tomatoes critic score is like 94 and the audience is like 86. So it's like consensus. It's a pretty good movie.
Hell yeah.
So that was another one. I also watched Pearl again. God, I fucking love that movie. It's so goddamn disturbing. It's so good. And the dude who got the value brand, Henry Cavill, just got cast in, he just got cast as the new Superman. So he's now like, he's actually, you know, premium brand Henry Cavill at this point. He's upgraded. He's officially he's just Henry Cavill. So that was fun. Watched Scream 6, which was just as fun the second time. Honestly, more so because like you could kind of tune out some of the more like, oh, who's the killer, blah blah blah, like all the kind of bullshit. And you know, the violence in that movie is awesome. And then I also watched Renfield last night.
Yeah, do you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah, it was like very much an action horror film. Very brutal. And
very brutal.
Nick Cage as Dracula was phenomenal in this. I loved it. Like, that was by far my favorite part of the whole movie. So that was, yeah, it was a blast. But yeah, I've definitely been getting back on my spooky season game. I probably watched about 20 minutes of Ari Aster's newest film, Beau Is Afraid, but I haven't finished that one yet.
No,
so.
No interest.
Yeah. Well, we'll
fuck
see.
Fuck Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh yeah, I forgot you hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of similar to Joker so far, where he's like actually like clinically insane. So like, he's like hallucinating. I think. I don't really know. It's very surreal. But but yeah, so the not to take up too much time, but also I went to my first Comic Con this this past weekend here in Tampa, my home con. And I cosplayed as Scoops Ahoy Steve from Stranger Things. So that was a fucking vibe. And it was actually really funny. I had a guy come up to me cosplaying as Leon from Resident Evil, and his costume was sick, but he came up to me, asked to take my picture. The only person the whole day that asked to take a photo of me. I was like, let's go, I made it. But when we took the picture, I was like, bro, this is like a round of Dead by Daylight, because like Scoops Ahoy Steve and Leon are both in it, and he's like, I know, and I was like, my people.
So that, did you get his gamer tag?
I didn't, but we follow each other on Instagram. Aww. So I'll hit him up. I followed him back. But yeah, so besides that, I also, as I was walking around, stumbled upon the creative director and head designer of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, which is coming out here in like the next 2 weeks. And excuse me, I got the burps. I was watching, I've been following this game for a little bit. Like, I'm pretty excited about it. It's from the creators who did the Friday the 13th game. As you who listen know, I play a lot of Dead by Daylight. So I've been stoked for this game, and it comes out this month. So meeting the creative director and the lead developer was a really cool experience. Got to chit chat with him. And he signed posters, which the posters are really cool. I'll have to send you guys a picture. Maybe we can post it when we post it online. But
oh, dope.
Yeah, so it's like a film poster. So if you can see at the bottom, it has like all of the... Kane Hodder does all the voice stuff for Leatherface, which is cool. Cool. You know, that's Jason. But
yeah.
But yeah, so the lead dev, his name's Robert Fox II. He's freaking... I got his name signed on this poster, and he's on there, which is cool. And then... independent of that, I got two prints, or the second one's not horror related, so I'll just forget that one. I got one print, and it is a Xenomorph print from Alien. Very cool, signed by the artist. It's a limited Comic-Con run. He only did three of them, and he said that was the only one he sold in Tampa. So your boy is the proud owner of the only one from Tampa Bay. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was pretty hype about that. Beyond that, I saw some other horror stuff at the con. I saw some people dressed as Wesker from Resident Evil. I saw Pyramid Head. I saw a couple variants of Ghostface. I actually didn't see any Jason Voorhees, which was kind of a bummer. That was my one critique of Comic-Con, was I can't wait to go to one that's horror-centric. Kind of what you said, Josh. Like, I love it. I love, like, you know, just pop culture in general. But I'm not as big into comics and superheroes as I am into horror or even fantasy. So that's kind of more what I lean into outside of Star Wars. Looking forward to trying to go to some cons, you know, that are more horror-centric in the future. They do have one in Florida called Spookala. It's actually, they just moved it to Tampa, and they have, what's his name? David Arquette. He's going to be at it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I don't know when that is, but I'll let you guys know when that is. Maybe we can make that happen. That'd be cool. But yeah, cons... A+, big fan. Will be doing them in the future. Having a lot of fun. Last thing I'll say is Nicolas Cage has been unleashed into Dead by Daylight.
Not as Dracula, unfortunately.
The fog has never been the same, and it never will be the same. And they also just announced that they're bringing the Xenomorph from Alien into Dead by Daylight, so I would say probably Predator will be in the game at some point as well.
You can expect me to show up pretty much on the day that happens.
Well, we need to get you in before the date happens so we can power level that character, because you'll have like a bank account of points that we can just dump into Xenomorph when day one, so you can have the basic mechanics down and just own people, because that's what I'm going to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Also, last bit, and this is more news related. Did you guys hear that the director of the new Scream movie, Scream 7, will not be the, I guess it's a duo that's been doing 5 and 6, and it will be Christopher Landon, who did Freaky and Happy Death
Freaky.
Day?
Freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually, if it has to be someone besides the people who have already been doing it, then I'm cool with it being this guy. Because I actually, as far as the opening scene for Freaky goes, that's one of the better slasher scenes that I've seen in the past couple of years. So,
yeah, give us Vince Vaughn as Ghostface.
That's what I was just going
to say. I'm here for it.
That would be fucking sick, dude. give us get Vince Vaughn as a fucking dread herring, please.
I'm into that. Hell yeah.
But yeah, so let's do the thing, shall we?
We had so many segues of the numerous amount of times you mentioned aliens.
I know.
And then just kept coming back with more.
All right, so let's talk Aliens from Jordan Peele. So this is the most recent film from Jordan Peele. He's done now 3 movies. We had his directorial debut, which was Get Out, which was his post Key and Peele days. If you've ever seen Key and Peele on Comedy Central, he's half of that duo. Then after Get Out, which that was a huge blockbuster hit. Actually, I don't even know like if it made tons of money. I think it did, but like it was a like agreed upon like horror classic from the get go, pretty much.
It won Academy Awards.
It did? I don't even like. Yeah, so I'm shooting from the hip here. Excuse me. And I'm gonna keep making cowboy puns all episode.
Here we are.
But yeah, so that was his first film. Us was his second showing. I thought it was weaker, but still had some great moments in it. Overall, the concept just wasn't as good, in my opinion.
Really?
And then
I preferred that one to Get Out. I really liked Us.
The ending killed it for me. I just really didn't like what I honestly wish I didn't know what was happening, as opposed to the solution or like the
conclusion.
Yeah, it was so far out there. It's the same complaint I've heard about people with Barbarian, where it was like there was no way I was ever going to guess what was going to happen because it was just so preposterous. which, for whatever reason, in Barbarian it worked for me, but in Us it did not.
We're being cryptic about these Jordan Peele movies for a reason, and that's because our beloved boy Josh hasn't seen any of them until today.
Yes, we will be doing some Jordan Peele movies after this, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, one third's not bad. I'm saying one. I'm knocking them off. Yeah, no, yeah, his movies came out in a weird period of time where I was missing movies constantly. So, not for not wanting to see him. I thought Get Out looks really good, and I've never heard a bad thing about it. And Us, I didn't rush out to see because it was very, contentious. I heard a lot of mixed reviews, so I didn't see it. But I love that dude. The big guy from Black Panther?
Yeah.
He's fucking awesome. I love that guy.
Umbako.
Yeah,
Winston Duke, I think, is his name.
Yeah, that's a great name, by the way. Winston Duke.
Yeah, powerful.
Yeah.
But I do have questions, because this movie felt very, Shyamalan-ish. Do all of his movies feel this way? They all have the same type of, I don't know, structure?
There's always a reveal in the third act of his films.
Yeah.
So if that's what you mean, then yes. It's not necessarily a twist, right? Movie.
I don't even mean just the ending. I just mean the whole film itself. Like, it's just something a little left of center about it.
Yeah,
and I
think
I feel
all
that way with all Shyamalan
that,
right? movies. Yeah. Yeah, like all the people just kind of act a little like detached.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this movie. Well,
that's a perfect way to describe all of his movies, actually.
I don't think the second film, the Us, not as much. This one, a little bit more so, but the first one, very much.
Didn't he do Candyman, too?
He produced Candyman.
Yeah, he produced it. I got assaulted on Twitter because I said he directed it incorrectly, and everyone said I was being a woman hater because Nia DaCosta didn't get the credit for my tweet. I was like, he could just, you know, educate me and not try to, like, get a clap back in, but, you know, that's not the internet we operate on. You gotta
you gotta
dunk on someone and make them feel like shit because they got something incorrect off like a minor mistake.
Yeah.
Why you gotta hate women, Chris?
Did they teach you that in the Navy?
Yeah. I was gonna say the only way I can make up for it, I'm about to go buy a theater full of Barbie tickets and go watch it by myself. Yeah, so this one, Nope. Like, I loved how cryptic the marketing around this film was. Like, you really had no idea. Now, granted, Josh and Miles, like, this is your first time seeing it. It's been out for, like, over a year now, because I want to say it came out in July. Yeah, so just over a year. And there was just, like, you had no idea what this movie was about. Like, you had a inkling that, like, maybe there's aliens in this, because, like, but, like, the poster, if you look it up on Wikipedia, the poster even right now is, like, not the promotional poster they're using. The promotional poster of this film was a cloud with a multicolored banner hanging down from it, and that was it. That's all you knew about it. So you had no freaking idea. All the commercials and stuff and the teasers, they didn't show anything. They never really told you what was going on. You just really only got to see the main actors either talking to each other or maybe reacting to something off screen that looked scary, but you never really knew what was happening. So the marketing campaign for this, like, we all, I think, have complained about trailers, like, giving way too much away from a movie. And this is one of those films where they did a good job of not doing that. And I think that's part of the reason why, I won't speak for either of you, but maybe you didn't know every single thing that happened in this movie before it ever came on screen.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know a whole lot about this movie at all, but I think the marketing of it really rode on the fact that Jordan Peele's name was on it, because that's really all anyone knew about it, was that Jordan Peele was responsible for this movie, and that was enough for a lot of people to be like, yes, going to see it right now, which is, he's really on a hot streak as far as being a household name in horror.
I think, yeah, all the word of mouth just basically off his name. Like, he hit it so out of the park with Get Out that it like immediately kind of made him like a new cornerstone for horror. And even though Us wasn't as like widely approved of by audiences, like that didn't seem to tarnish his reputation at all. So like this movie still came out and did very well. And I don't feel like this movie is as divisive as Us. I don't feel like I've heard any bad things about this. But I am interested to see his last two movies and interested to see, like, what he comes up with next. Because it's very, like, the whole time I was watching this movie, I'm just like, where did he come up with this? it's such a, like, abstract way of going at this idea, which on paper is just like, oh, aliens. But it's, like,
different.
I don't know. I'm always interested in that in movies where there's, like, random shit in movies. And I'm just like, What did that have to do with anything? Where did you come up with that part?
Right. Where did you come from? Like, where did you go?
Like the sitcom in this movie.
Oh my god! Like, yeah. So
where'd you pull this out of?
So listen. All right. I did a lot of reading after this film because I was so interested. This is the Jordan Peele movie out of all three of his that made me, like, most curious to find out what the deeper like subtext was, what certain scenes meant, why it was, you know, the title, all of it. And so, you know, I started watching interviews and stuff, and we'll get into that in just a second. But I just want to say that for those of you out there who have never seen this movie, I wouldn't describe it as a traditional horror film. I would describe it more as a thriller, like a sci-fi thriller with like minimal horror. Cause there's no part of this movie. There's one part of this movie that scared me, but it was not actually scary. And it was children dressed in alien masks.
Well, I think that's what I mean. Too, that scared about, like, the me. All the characters they're too much of characters for anything to kind of be scary.
Yeah.
Because they're not acting like regular people. They're acting like characters. So they, like, it kind of takes you out of any sort of suspense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
NOPE is an acronym. Some people say it stands for Not of Planet Earth. Some people think it's just straight up NOPE because Kiki Palmer says that in the film. Some people think it's like kind of like a callback to just like the expression in horror movie. Like when people are watching horror movies, they're like, nope, absolutely not. Like I would not walk in that room kind of thing.
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya says nope like 3 times in this movie too.
Yeah. So, but the working title for this movie originally was called Little Green Men. And so the overarching concept of this movie is exploitation of, like, it's the idea of trying to exploit miracles, right? Like, the one concept that comes up in this film is bad miracles, which there isn't a word for it, right? You could call it a tragedy, I guess, but... and I think that's like the most interesting concept in this entire movie. Like, the fact that the ape Gordy snaps when he does and murders fucking everyone in that soundstage, or the shoe standing upright, the fact that the alien chose their valley, or when it ejected the byproduct, it ended up killing his father. I think that's a running theme in this. And the idea is like a commoditization of an experience and how everything all comes down to how can you commodify it and create revenue from it. So like when you look at all the different characters, starting with, let's look at, you know, just their family in general, obviously is involved with the horse farm with the Hollywood films.
Keith David.
But then you have Keith David. Short-lived, but great role.
We love him.
And then you get, you know, when they're on set with the horse that's for that commercial, Kiki Palmer is self-promoting herself. Then you kind of go forward and they want to get their Oprah shot, right? Then you've got the director who helps them eventually film it. He's in it for, I actually, his motivations were a little fuzzy to me. I didn't really understand entirely what was going on. I feel like he was like kind of on an ayahuasca trip of his own.
yeah, he's doing some weird stuff. That guy is, Miles, you know that guy. He is in Alien Resurrection.
He is?
He's the like leader of the group that comes aboard with Ron Perlman and Winona Ryder and all.
Okay.
He's the guy with the really cool voice. He's also the bad guy in The Crow.
Okay.
Really?
He okay. has one of the coolest voices.
He reminded me of Ambrose a little bit from...
Hey, yeah, Ambrose McCleary.
His voice... His voice definitely was very distinct. Like it was very like not the same, but like Mickey Rourke, where it's like when you hear that voice, you fucking know. Mm. Yeah. So the commoditization, the goal of like taking that one video, and even with Steven Yeun's character, where he's got Jupiter's Landing or Jupiter's Farm or whatever it's called, where he's trying to one. he's trying to make a buck off of the tragedy that he experienced, right? Like, he's got that display room. They make it a point to show, like, all of the memorabilia from that attack. And then later on, and, you know, he even mentions, like, people paying to sleep in there. And then later on, him obviously trying to put on a show and tame the, what do they call it? Jean Jacket. and so that's kind of the through line of this. So Little Green Men was originally the title. It's supposed to be a tongue in cheek, like aliens, but also like it's all about them Benjamins, you know, like, mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really fascinating. And once I knew that perspective, now granted, this is my second time watching it after knowing that, I did really appreciate like how this movie was made, kind of going back to what you're saying, Josh. And I know that's like a lot of context outside of the film, and that doesn't make the movie better or worse, but it just made me understand it a little bit better.
That's really interesting. I had never even, like, that didn't occur to me at all. I was thinking it was about the exploitation of animals.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about, yeah, it kind of is, right? It's about the commoditization of anything that you can do to make a buck. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of really what it comes down to. So whether that's taming animals or whether that's thinking that you can tame an extraterrestrial, you know, and so you're not off on that. And but I think one of the reasons why I really enjoyed this movie was because there was more meaning to it than what I just watched on screen, you know, and mm-hmm. like that to me was like, OK, I can dig a layer deeper here. But let's talk about the actual film. So. It starts off, obviously, Keith David gets freaking impaled by a nickel in his eye and killed, which is, you're like, what the fuck? Did you guys have any idea what was going on at first?
Nope.
Like, when that happened, did you think it was aliens?
I knew the movie had aliens, so I knew that was involved, but I had no idea what was happening.
I was very surprised that they killed him, especially because he's more of a prominent actor, like, in the first, like, 5 minutes. But yeah, as the film goes on, like, especially on rewatch, I thought it was so interesting. Like, the scene when he's doing the commercial and the horse, like, bucks, and they end up bringing in a CGI horse and everything. And again, that's another reference to, like, we're going to do what's most cost-effective to create content, to commoditize this. We're not going to use real horses anymore. We have this CGI horse that is like an abomination before God and man. But we're going to bring this out. And, you know, just like the general lack of respect towards Daniel Kaluuya's character and towards the horse, it just kind of like all echoes the lack of dignity and respect that there is in like work, right? Like, it's all just like, what's the easiest, fastest, cheapest way we can do? And, you know, we get the TMZ motorcyclist at the end of the fucking film. And like, you know, we get all these pieces of shit. So yeah, the father dies and the farm is left to Keke Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya, who are brother and sister. And they are, he is like really leans into that cowboy persona of just like pretty much not saying more than 7 words at a time ever.
Yeah, he's a very stoic man.
I like it though. Like yeah. when I view this movie like a Western, it's like, it's awesome.
he was doing a Keith David impression the whole time.
He kind of was.
Right?
He kind of was.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Something funny podcast related that you people won't know about is that lots of times when we start recording, we do our little sound check, we will say funny things. And like 2 weeks ago, Chris did his mic check by saying Akila and the Bee over and over and over again. Keke Palmer is Akila. She's Akila in the Bee.
Glow up. Also, honorable mention character played by Brandon Perea. He was the Angel Torres.
I like that guy.
Best Buy Tech. Like, the obligatory character to bring a little bit of brevity besides Keke Palmer, who just has a big personality. Like, you can't just have the person with a gigantic personality be the comedy relief the whole time. Like, good call bringing that guy in. I thought that was awesome.
I think it helped her character a lot, too, because before he came in, I thought she was extremely fucking annoying.
Yeah, I personally didn't feel that, but I understand what you're saying, because she was very extra, and then, like, him being in there, and basically, he was the one guy reacting like a normal human being, right?
Right.
So, like, you got the one guy, he's the heel of the show. Like, you're allowed to actually respond as a normal person would. Everyone else has got their roles to play in this. But yeah, I did like, so talking about the opening scene, upon rewatch, you recognize that the opening scene is from the perspective of being sucked up into Jean Jacket with the screams and the intense music. And you don't know what you're looking at. It looks like just a square hallway. And then they do an immediate transition to where it's the same viewpoint as when they show the first moving pictures of anyone. And it's like their grandfather, who was a black, he's a bohemian jockey. And he was the first man to be recorded in moving pictures. And so that's kind of their claim to fame and their piece in history. And I loved that transition from the inside of Jean Jacket's mouth to that, like, long kind of shot. Like, I guess you used to put like quarters into a vending machine, kind of look into the panel. And it's just like, I think those kind of details is why Jordan Peele is so widely respected, even when people don't recognize that that's why they like his work, because like a lot of it does kind of tie back in really effectively. Let's fast forward a little bit. We don't need to get like beat by beat because, you know, at this point, go watch the movie. It's on Amazon Prime for now. We get introduced to Steven Yeun's character and his wife and kids, and we find out that, like I said, they have kind of the neighboring farm. They've got, you know, an entire display room about this tragedy that happened when he was a child sitcom actor, and an animal had gone apeshit, literally, and and beat a bunch of people to death on set. And he was like pretty much the lone survivor. When they do eventually show us what happened, that shit was chilling, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking scary.
That was so scary. And when he comes in for the fist bump, whew.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, man. I was like, you know, they basically were like, okay, so we're not just going to have an alien like horror in this movie. We're also going to have animal horror. And for that, I respect you, Jordan Peele. Well done.
I used to watch a show called Fatal Attractions, which is about people who collect, like, exotic animals. So every episode has, like, a formula. It's, this guy collected these animals, and he died. This person collected these animals and changed their ways, and this person is currently collecting these animals. But, like, they tell all the stories at the same time. It's actually really well done and extremely grim. And this person died for the apes episode was the guy that brought a birthday cake out to one of his chimps and not the other ones. So they got mad and they ripped his dick off and ate his face. So I think that's major inspiration for what happens in the movie set on this movie.
Yeah. And I mean, in real life, there was that one lady who she had a pet chimpanzee and it ripped her face off. And so she like literally is like pretty much, her mouth is just like a gaping, like, yeah, wound, basically.
Yeah, jaws and genitals, that's what they go for.
And it's funny because there's a character in this film that you see eventually at Jupe's Landing when Steven Yeun's character is actually trying to, I don't even really know, tame this alien. But all of that to say, her face is ripped off and she's horrifying looking.
Poor lady.
Yeah, I did think a lot of the stuff in this movie is like a little coincidental, though. Like, and I'm sure it's supposed to be, but I couldn't help but think it the entire time I'm watching it. Like, their solution to like not getting abducted by the alien, and like the fact that the alien is even exactly where the alien is around both of these like horse farms of people that deal with animals every day. It's just like, that this alien's got shit luck. He ran into the only people that knew how to stop him, basically.
Well, I think I got lost on my point earlier, but when they were recording the commercial, I liked how the one guy put that reflective surface and the horse saw its reflection and then bucked. And that's like a big, like point in this movie is like eye contact with the predator or animals that are in any state of unease will cause them to have like potentially a violent reaction was kind of like what the foreshadowing of that scene was. And yes, I do agree. It's coincidental. Like, don't get me wrong, but I did like how that was like paired up with it because, you know, him being this cowboy type actually kind of gave him a leg up against the alien. And, you know, it made it interesting because otherwise he would have just died.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's one hell of a guess.
Yeah.
That he just happened to be right. Like, and I just didn't, like, what? Why is the alien hanging out there? Like,
to eat horses.
Just, I mean, there is an unlimited horses. He's only got, like, 10.
Mm. It was territorial. I mean, I think it just had more in common with the animals than, like, what you would expect from an alien. Like, it just was, it had found a zone that had plenty of food, put down roots and just started eating. Because the opening,
how was it making the cloud?
Well, also from the opening scene, if you like, again, from the benefit of watching it a second time, there's a radio broadcast about some hikers up on the mountain that had gone missing, like a whole tour group. So it had already been killing people, like pretty much in mass. Like it had killed at least like 10 to 20 people already. And
I just want a voiceover anytime the alien attacks that says, "Don't look at me! Don't you look at me!"
So it's this hiker stuff that killed Keith David.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, we get the crazy Gordy scene. And the interesting thing, kind of to your point, Josh, is like what triggers Gordy to go on a fucking violent rampage is the balloons popping. So it's not eye contact. So it really was a good guess. Because they could have been like, can't be loud noises. Well, you're dead now. Sorry, OJ. And, you know, with any Jordan Peele movie, there's always some like, racial undertones of like how races treat each other differently. And like a big focus on like the struggles of black people in society and just like the mistreatment and things like that. And like one scene in particular, again, back to the commercial scene, is when this like old famous star is like, "Your name's OJ?" And he's like, "Yes, ma'am." She's like, "Ugh." It's like, all right. Sounds good. We get an entire scene where they're setting up cameras, and we find out through a period of time, and I'm really breezing through this, not because it was boring or anything, but because it can be summed up in that they try to set up electronic cameras with like their own battery sources where they're not connected to the grid, and even that is dying. So whatever this alien is, like as it flies over you, the electrical field that it creates will kill any kind of electronics that you got going on. And that comes into play in a big part. And it's funny, I was just talking about over on my other podcast, The Geek Peek, like modern horror movies have to do a good job of being able to disable communication.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's shutting down internet, shutting down your cell phone service, or rendering them ineffective. Even if you can communicate with people, it doesn't help you. And like, so they do a good job in this one because like, your first thought would be, let's bring in the F-22 Raptors and see how this thing likes to eat fucking lead.
Right.
But, you know, they would die at hypersonic speeds because their plane would literally turn off. They set up all this stuff. We get that one kind of unreasonably scary scene with the children from Jupe's farm next door coming in and dressing like aliens. I legit, like, that was, for me, the scariest part of the movie.
I agree. That part had me. I was like, oh, I didn't think this would be a straight-on, here's the alien movie, but yeah, here we go.
It's like, they're on the ground? Shit, bro. Like, they're out here.
I did love the part where he punched the one in the face and then revealed the little kids.
I know. I mean, I couldn't blame him. I couldn't blame him at all. I definitely would punch a child.
Nah, I'd have done the same thing.
It's like, if I'm dying, I'm going out punching.
I would have continued to punch knowing it was a child after that.
It's taking human form.
So, yeah, OJ figures out that the inorganic matter that Jean Jacket eats is the cause of his father's death. And then they decide that they're going to get the Oprah shot, which the point of this is to make sure that they get on film film either way, right? Moving pictures or still. They want to get proof, indisputable, that there are aliens out there, which, respect. Honestly, I would have maxed my credit cards out to get that fucking alien shot. I don't know about you guys, but like, if I was the guy who had an opportunity to get the shot definitively that proved aliens were real forever, the one that will be in textbooks from here on out, like, yeah.
I would have spent all of my money and blown out my credit cards getting away from that place and finding a safe place without aliens.
I would have spent half of my money to pay someone to make sure that Miles had to come and hang out with me while I spent my other half to get that shot. They end up recruiting the cinematographer Antlers Holst. He's famed. He's a famous cinematographer. So famous, so hot right now. And
he just watches videos of predators fighting each other. It's really off-putting.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and he just like
a tiger fighting a fucking boa constrictor.
He's the only person I know that could recite the lyrics to the Purple People Eater and make it sound horrifying.
Yeah, it was so scary.
It's good stuff.
The Purple People Eater, eat your soul. It's like, what? It's not the lyrics, bro. But yeah, so he's going to work with them, and he has like a wind-up camera that's like got no electronics in it, which it has to be said that this film did a good job of like kind of paying homage to the different styles of camera work and different like types of film and just like the progression of Hollywood in general. You know, like we get a little bit of the first moving pictures. We get the fucking jackass from TMZ on his electric bike with his crazy paparazzi camera. We've got them trying to do it with their cell phones. We've also got this crank camera. And I thought that was kind of another interesting aspect to the film. Not necessarily intended, but, well, honestly, I feel like kind of everything in this movie was intended, so I shouldn't even say that. But
yeah.
At this point, they squad up. And I will say that Antlers Holst does tell M, the Kiki Palmer, that chasing wealth and fame is a dream you'll never wake up from. So, like, he, like, leads with some cryptic shit and, like, declines working with them. And then he ends up coming and joining them. I don't really know what exactly happens.
He
like, nothing really changes.
Himself for the shot.
Well, yeah, but, like, nothing changed to make him change his mind. He's just a weird guy who needed some time to think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he just shows up.
Yeah.
They have the realization that the alien, it's not aliens. Like, the ship itself is the actual alien. Like,
which,
it's this flying creature.
What did you guys think about that? Because I feel like, how many other alien films have you seen where, like, the alien itself can travel like that?
I thought it was an interesting concept. I didn't see it coming. So it was a cool revelation.
Like,
I was hoping to see some aliens before that.
Like, War of the Worlds is the only one that comes to mind where I think of the same thing. And even that, it was like their ships beamed down and they were still inside.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I thought that was such a fresh take on aliens. And it was scary. Like, it was really scary. Because what it reminded me of, I don't know if you guys ever played Mass Effect, but the Reapers...
No, I have not.
Yeah.
The Reapers in Mass Effect, just like really quick explanation, they're like this alien civilization that hibernates for like, you know, millennia basically, and then when they do wake up, they harvest like all of galactic civilization that exists, and then when they go back to sleep, and like that's their entire existence, and they are like planet sized. So like you think they're ships powered by something, but really it's just like each one's sentient. So that's the only other thing that I've ever seen where it's like the alien is the ship basically.
I thought it was awesome. I have never seen that before. And I like that they went with the OG flying saucer. Like, it wasn't like some spaceship that looks like a pair of pants. Like, Josh and I just watched Jason X, and that's what their spaceship looks like. Like, it wasn't a particularly clever design for the most part until, like, the end of the movie. But just an OG flying saucer. I love it. I can't get enough.
Yeah, it keeps, like, changing. Like, that's why at first you think it's, like, a craft, because it looks like a craft for a long time. But then, like, when you do get closer up shots of it, you can see it's, like, an organism. And then there's that really cool scene where, it, like, because at the beginning when Keith David dies, it's because a bunch of, like, change and keys and stuff fall out of the sky. But then there's that scene where you realize, like, oh, anything this ship alien eats, like, it has to expel the waste. So there's a part where it's just like raining blood down over the house because it ate all those people. That was fucking really cool.
The scene where all those people then get eaten is crazy too. It's like Jaws 3.
Yeah. It's like Jaws 3.
Just getting caught up inside and getting digested on camera.
So the director, the guy, the cinematographer, Antlers, he also mentioned Siegfried and Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, obviously, one of the tigers attacked. Was it Roy? I think it was Roy that got attacked.
I think it was Roy, yeah.
You know, so there's just a lot of, like, having relationships with animals and having them turn on you in this. And apparently, Jordan Peele quoted Neon Genesis Evangelion's Angels as the principal inspiration for the film and the monster. So if you guys have ever seen that, the true meaning of Jean Jacket's true forms resemblance to the biblical description of angels. Have you guys ever looked up realistic depiction of angels?
Yeah, they're real fucked up.
Yeah, it's very like Cthulhu or like Lovecraftian, I should say. But that's exactly what this looks like. And it's really, really crazy to see, like, because in this movie, when you see that at the end of the film, it makes you think like, holy shit, it's like every angel people has ever seen like this thing.
Yeah. And it's like a mixture of a lot of things too. Like, it's kind of like a jellyfish. Kind of like the way it is, because then it like folds back up, and that's kind of how like jellyfish eat. They'll like pull things inside of them. But it also like is peacocking. Like, once it is in its like final form, it's like peacocking. Like, it's feather, it's like kind of flashing like warning signs to be like back the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's sitting there kind of like feathering itself out over and over again.
I was like, this is why they said it was a weather balloon in Area 51, because it kind of had some weather balloon-iness when it was in mid-transformation.
Yeah, I mean, I think this, like, the design of this monster and the reveal in the third act of this film, it's freaking awesome, dude. Like, seeing it in its full glory was not something I expected from a Jordan Peele horror movie. I didn't expect to see this like realistic depiction of an angel. You know, right. Like, it, I just thought it looked so freaking cool, and it looks so different than everything else that we've seen in terms of aliens.
Yeah, I'm looking at realistic depictions of angels right now, and some of them just look like machines. Like, this is very interesting. It's so many eyes and wings and shapes and colors.
What is it? Seraphim, I think, is the biblical name for them. So one scene in particular that stands out to me in this film, and it's one of the most standout films, like the Gordy attack scene, the finale with Jean Jacket fully peacocking, and this scene when Daniel Kaluuya has just driven over. Okay, it starts with the Jupiter's landing abduction scene, where we get an entire crowd of people sucked up into the air and killed with like such an epic preamble where there's like this whole speech and all this stuff. And then we get Daniel Kaluuya, who rolls over to see what's going on, sees it's empty, and he's heading back. And we get Angel and M in the house, and they're about to leave, and it lets all of the refuse out of its body over the house. So it is legitimately raining blood. Insert Slayer clip here. And that was so awesome and so like, that was such a visceral shot, right? Like, watching the blood pour down this White House and flood down the steps and like push all these like hats and shoes and like little pennants and car keys and wallets and all this random shit down the steps was so gnarly. Like, I thought that was so cool, and to me is one of the most iconic scenes of this entire film.
For sure. I can't think of any parts of this movie I didn't particularly like, but I think that was really like when I was like, oh, this is the climax. And then, like, of course, all of the like leading up to catching him with the wacky inflatable tube men and all that was pretty cool. Yeah. But this is like the height of the horror aspect of it, like the horror climax.
I totally agree. And yeah, I'm glad you brought up the inflatable tube men, because I love that little touch. I thought that was so fun. Yeah,
I think the third act really like pulls the whole movie together. Like the first two acts, I wasn't extremely sold, and like I said, like the way the characters were acting was really like, I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what type of film this is trying to be, but I think the third act of this is so extremely strong that I was very impressed by the end of this movie.
I mean, the rewatchability of the third act in particular is so good, because it's such an epic conclusion to, like, granted, this is not a scary movie, in my opinion. Like, this didn't scare me at all. But, like, for a horror movie to have such a strong conclusion the way that this one does, I really, really enjoyed it. And now I will say, that's not to say this movie is without flaws. The scene where the TMZ guy comes in was fucking hilarious. Yeah. Do not get me wrong. And Angel being like, there's no way he's alive, right? And he's like, help me! My legs are broken! And then kind of further enforcing my point when he's like, where's my camera? Please get my camera. Please take a video of it. Please, please. Like, he's like begging him. It's like, that's the only thing he cares about. And he dies because of it. And then what I did not really like a ton was Kiki Palmer at the very end at the well. It was just very like, I don't know, how would I put it? There was too much of a standoff where she's making eyes at Daniel Kaluuya's character. He's making eyes at her. The aliens between them. There's the standoff. It's super emotional. She drives away. Like, I don't think that the emotion was earned from her, like how emotional she was in that moment outside of being terrified. Like, I don't think there needed to be this, like, heartwarming moment there where it was like, we did it. We accomplished this. Like, we did what Dad always wanted us to do. Like, I felt like that fell a little flat for me. Mm-hmm. But that's me more nitpicking than it is. Like, it's not me, like, saying I didn't like the ending, because actually I did. But I just felt like that was not – they needed to do more to earn that moment. because like the brother and sister relationship between them was strained at points in this movie, and there was never really a point where they really like 100% had each other's back.
That is true. And also, like, it was made out to be like he died, and then it's like supposed to be like, yeah, this like heartwarming like unification, like, oh, they're back, like he's back, and now they're together, they can be, you know, they can be a team again. And I'm like, A, that happened like 2 minutes ago, and B, like, they didn't show it, so I didn't assume he died.
Right.
Like, I assumed he was still alive.
I think I would have liked it better if, honestly, she had to sacrifice getting the Oprah shot in order to kill it. Or get the Oprah shot, but die. Because if you really wanted to drive home the point of, like, people are literally willing to die for a dollar, like, that would have made the point. And if not, like, the lesson learned from the characters is, like, you had to kill this thing, but like, you're not going to get rich off of it, and you're not going to be famous, and you're never going to be the people who were known for discovering this, but you lived.
Right.
I thought she was going to like tame this thing, because she said like her problem was with her brother, that like she was supposed to tame the original Jean Jacket, the horse, that when she was a teenager, and then he fucking like stole it from her. And then that part where you think he's like riding off to die and saving her, he gives her the same like pointing at his eyes, pointing at her thing. And I'm like, and they named it Jean Jacket. So I was like, oh, this is her fucking time to shine. She's going to pull out some sort of super taming.
If this movie had ended with her riding on top of Jean Jacket and like the top of Jean Jacket was shaped like a cowboy hat, I would have been so happy.
Yeah. Happy ending.
Yeah. I was picturing like Dune.
exactly hey, like, dude. I did think it was a little lame that they like the way that they defeated the alien. I'm like, this is what I mean by like, we need a voiceover of him being like, why are you looking at me? Like, it's a giant balloon that happens to have eyeballs on it, and it's just like, what, you're looking at me, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And eats a giant fucking big boy balloon, and it explodes and kills you. Like, you're a fucking giant spaceship sized alien. Like, a bunch of air killed you. Like, that shouldn't, like, I don't know,
they had to come up with something that cowboys could do.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't have a problem with the fact that it died from that, because like, it was filled with helium, so it really was like an explosion. Once its digestion started like kicking in, it would like, it would implode inside of it. But yeah, I feel you. Like I said, either earn it by, you either die and get your picture, or you live and you kill the monster. But maybe not both. Like, a little too happy of an ending for me.
Yeah, I think it might have been a better ending if they all just died and the fucking alien got to have the land all to itself.
And then the U.S. government comes in and just fucking carpet bombs it from above.
It would be like... like the monkey, it would be the same thing. Like, oh, the monkey got everybody, and then somebody just shoots the monkey. They'd do that with the alien.
Dude, that would have been crazy if, like, the whole cast, you just see them all dead on the ground, and then, like, you just see a missile streak in and kill it, and it fades to black. We did it! Military-industrial complex.
I do feel like there's a lot of ways that they could have ended this movie strong, and... like, I don't think that it was a particularly weak ending at all myself. I liked it, so... but, like, we're just spitballing here, and we're coming up with other great ideas for how this movie could have ended. So, like, there's a lot of room to play with this concept, and you could tell that they had a good time making it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And something I'm interesting that I'm looking at here, it's saying... the scene from when Gordy goes to give that fist bump, it was nominated for best scene at a film festival in St. Louis, and someone from The Ringer compared it to the creation of Adam from Michelangelo, where it's like the quote is, the feeling to recoil from an outstretched hand, especially one powerful enough to rip you limb from limb. Which I think is, I mean, it's cool. Like, I love the symbolism and, like, deeper, like, this is one of those movies that I feel like, I said it earlier, you can kind of dig a little deeper into and get a little bit more from than just viewing it once. And because of that, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I'm going to go ahead and give this a 5 out of 5. So this is getting my Kakoa Shaw seal of approval personally. However, with the caveat that do not go into this movie expecting scares, because you're not going to be scared from this movie, but it has elements of horror in it, and so I'm giving it a 5.
5 what? Do you guys think? What are we rating it out of?
Ooh, that's a good question. Bad miracles?
Jean jackets.
Falling pocket change.
Wacky inflatable arm men.
Oh, that's it. That's the one. So you're giving it 5 wacky inflatable arm tube men.
This is personally my favorite of Jordan Peele's films. I'm not sure if that's because it's got the sci-fi component in it, but I just really felt like this was a fresh take on an alien invasion movie and was a very much character-driven drama through and through. And you know how I love my character development when they're in the midst of bad circumstances.
I think I'm also going to give it a 5 out of 5. Wacky inflatable tube men's. Because I also very much liked it. It might be my favorite in his collection so far. But also under the view of understanding what it's about going in, it's absolutely going to be worth a second watch now that I know it's about, like, exploiting bad miracles.
I'll give it a 5, wacky inflatable arm people. Kakoa Shaw rides again. I think the third act is what really seals it in, and now knowing everything, I would like to go back and watch it and see if I like the first two acts better or like pick up on a lot more things. But I did think it was very interesting, and you could tell that every like detail was thought about in this movie. And I'm very intrigued to go back and watch his other two movies and see if I like them as much. But yeah, 5. Kakoa Shaw approved, people.
Woo-hoo! Hell yeah.
You know, if it's got Keith David, it's got to be Kakoa Shaw approved, baby. Kakoa!
Oh, baby. They said the inspiration for this, Neon Genesis Evangelion and Invertebrate Aquatic locomotion among sea creatures such as jellyfish, octopuses, and squid. So you were right on the money there.
What about the peacock?
And, you know, you asked how is it generating the cloud? That I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, you know, it's water vapor, so I guess it could, like, exhale heat and steam.
Yeah.
Because it's eating, you know, it's eating humans and shit, so it's got that. But yeah, I mean, overall, I was really pleasantly surprised by this movie, and I'm really glad that you guys enjoyed it as well, because I think it's one that maybe kind of got lost in translation. You know, 2022 was a weird year for moviegoers, theatergoers especially, and so if you did by chance miss this movie and you somehow listened to this entire review and spoiled the whole film for yourself, I hope that you'll go back and watch it, because this is one of the few horror movies that I think we reviewed on this show that I would say is better a second time.
I'm eager to watch it again soon, and that's unusual for this genre.
But cool. Well, We got to get soaked up before we wash up for dinner, if you know what I'm saying, boys.
You can ring that dinner bell.
You can check us out on social media, H on H Pod, wherever you get your social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I've started doing stuff on there, which is kind of cool.
You have. He's been killing it.
Shirts of the day / whenever I feel like doing it. Where I got all these horror shirts, I'm showing them off. I'm putting memes up. I'm getting crazy on the social. Please check that out. And if you want to get some merch, honhpod.threadless.com. Get yourself a sloppy breakfast, so on and so forth. But remember, folks, life is tough, so why not get high on